would like to do is the very first piece of paper that you have here is just simply, in case you have never seen it before, is this is the annual report from 1952 from Dr. Ballard, who is president of the Hull House Association. Okay, and the title page of it basically says Hull House on Halsted Street. And it's superimposed over a picture of the Hull House neighborhood. My purpose for being here today is to discuss the Hull House neighborhood and obviously the Hull House Museum. The second picture you have, you know, and pictures often say much more than words do, is a picture of the Hull House kids, and that was taken in 1924, and it was taken on Halsted and Arthington Street. And that's about a half a block away from where the original Hull House complex, okay, was. And as you'll notice later in my talk, okay, that we'll get through hopefully before the 5 minutes, all 20 of these boys had vowels at the end of their names, indicating that all of them were Italian Americans. And this particular picture, you know, circled the globe as a poster child of sorts for the Hull House, okay, or the Jane Addams Hull House. And again, it's titled The Hull House Kids. And the third and last picture that you have is again the same picture, and this time, which was taken in 1924, and this time, this picture is put out not by the Jane Addams Hull House, okay, or the director of such, but it's put out by the Hull House Association, which basically this picture was put out after the demise of Hull House in 1963. And I'll just read two lines from you, for you, excuse me. It was a tough neighborhood in 1889, but Jane Addams wanted to be where the people were. So that's where she founded Hull House. I think it makes a bold statement. A bolder statement comes right after that. Today, and this is today, meaning after the demise of the physical demise of Hull House in 1963, today Hull House lives in 20 Chicago neighborhoods, including Woodlawn, Uptown, LeClaire Courts, and North Halsted Street. So if I may, I'll move right into my dissertation here. The Hull House Museum, under the guardianship of the UIC, is the primary outlet for the dissemination of information to the public. The very first invitation sent to the residents of the Near West Side neighborhood slums, which Jane Addams had labeled the Hull House neighborhood, was written in Italian. The Bethlehem Howard Neighborhood Center and Jane Addams' book, The First 20 Years of Hull House, further document that Italians occupied the area from the river on the east on out to the western end of what was the Chicago neighborhood. Fact, of the three dominant immigrant groups, Jews and Greeks began their exodus from the neighborhood during the early part of the 20th century. Only the business sections of Greektown and Maxwell Street remained. The Italian enclave was the only ethnic group that endured as a vibrant community beyond the Prohibition era, the Great Depression, World War II, and the physical destruction of the neighborhood, which culminated with the creation of the UIC in 1963. The Hull House Kids, a historic picture taken by Wallace Kirkland, Hull House director in 1924, circulated the globe as a poster child for the Jane Addams Hull House. All 20 boys, as I stated before, were first generation Italian Americans. From the list of 257 Bowen Country Club alumni serving in World War II, all were Italians except for a handful of non-Italian names, once again suggesting that during the greater part of the 74-year history of the Near West Side, i.e. 1889 through 1963, The original Hull House and its summer camp served a community that was almost entirely Italian-American, a community that came to be known as the legendary Taylor Street's Little Italy. Lisa Lee, director of the Hull House Museum, is recently quoted as saying, "We do not have a narrow vision of ownership over history or who gets to tell the story, but realize it is a collective story to be told. History should include the story of those who had lived it." Despite the museum's self-professed philosophy, when asked why the Taylor Street Archives is not included in its multitude of references in their bibliographies and links to their websites, the rationale given for public consumption was, after all, in addition to the Italian community, Hull House also served 24 other ethnic neighborhoods. Aside, it was only with the dismantling of the neighborhood that the Hull House Association, beginning as a shell organization operating out of storefronts throughout the city, came to the forefront in dispensing social services beyond the original Hull House neighborhood. Excuse me a moment.
Mr. Romano, would it make sense for you and I to talk maybe right after the meeting about what happens with the archives?
So I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, how about if you and I meet after the meeting and we'll discuss the archives in a little more depth, because we have like a 5-minute limit, we're over that. I have to be conscious of everybody else.
That sounds fine.
This sounds like a little more complicated than a 5-minute conversation.
All right, thank you.
Would that be okay?
Surely.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. Maybe we'd welcome Ms. Rebecca Marcotti.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is Rebecca Marcotte, and I'm a junior studying electrical engineering at the Urbana campus. I've traveled here today to speak about an issue of great importance to the energy future of the university, the proposal to install a 1.5 megawatt wind turbine on the Urbana campus. Faculty, students, and staff involved with the project are concerned that continued delays are endangering it. In the Illinois Climate Action Plan signed this spring, the campus committed to installing at least one utility-scale wind turbine during fiscal year 2011. President Michael Hogan affirmed his commitment to the project at a forum with almost 100 students in September. The board and the university need to act now to uphold their commitment. This project to bring wind energy to the university was initiated by students 7 years ago. The current scope of the project is to install one 1.5 megawatt utility scale turbine on the South Farms. This turbine would produce about 1% of the campus energy consumption. The $4.5 million wind turbine project is financed by the $2 million grant from the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation, which has been extended twice, and a $500,000 grant from student sustainability fees through the Student Sustainability Committee. The remainder of the funds have been committed by the Office of the President, the Office of the Chancellor, and the campus utilities. Thus, the university is pursuing a $1.5 million project for a direct investment of under 50 cents on the dollar, a leverage ratio the university cannot afford to forego. The wind turbine project is currently months behind schedule. Facilities and Services has postponed seeking board approval until February or March instead of December as planned, and a final contract has not been negotiated. ICECF, the granting agency, has indicated that the grant will not be extended again beyond this spring. A signed contract is necessary to assure that the university has good faith to complete the project. We hope that Facilities and Services will present a contract for approval by the board at a special session in February. We strongly urge you to approve this contract and keep your promises to the university community and the people of Illinois. The 1.5 megawatt turbine fulfills the university's commitment to install a utility-scale wind turbine and is also an important step towards the campus's commitment in its climate action plan to source 5% of electricity and energy from renewable sources by 2015. It is also an important step towards the renewable portfolio standard set by the state of Illinois, requiring all electricity providers to source 25% of their electricity from renewables by 2025. The people of Illinois will be looking to the university to show leadership in meeting the renewable portfolio standard. The wind turbine will be a highly visible commitment to sustainability and innovation and will position the the university favorably for grants for future projects. Uphold your commitment to the university and the people of Illinois and make the wind turbine happen this year. The time has never and will never be better.
Thank you. And now our final speaker will be Ms. Kate McIntyre.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Kate McIntyre, and I am part of the Students for a Democratic Society chapter here at the Chicago campus of the University of Illinois. I came to UIC 3.5 years ago. I chose it over other campuses in Illinois because it was an affordable campus in a city that I loved that valued diversity. U.S. News and World Report listed it as one of the most diverse universities in the nation. Yet, African-American enrollment among undergraduates has steadily decreased from 9.6% in the year 2000 to 8.3% in 2010. This is a difference of almost 250 students. And despite UIC's proximity to Pilsen, a predominantly Latino neighborhood, the undergraduate Latino population barely reaches 20%. However, it was when UIC held trials for each of the diversity centers in 2010, trying to pin one against the other for funding and even physical space, that I began to feel that diversity was nothing more than a shallow tagline. Even in the Diversity Strategic Thinking and Planning Committee's 2010 report draft, it admits that, quote, many within Chicago's African-American community view UIC as a revolving door where their students are admitted for the purpose of enhancing our image, but not expected to succeed, end quote. And that, quote, Asian American students report feeling invisible and underserved, without outlining any solutions that would help these students. Furthermore, some of the centers that were threatening to be cut are services that help all students. For example, the Campus Advocacy Network is a program that was established to help all students, staff, and faculty who are survivors of domestic violence, stalking, and hate crimes. This is not limited to one race, ethnicity, gender identity, religion, or sexual orientation. It is a center concerned with student safety. It is alarming to think that the university would even think of cutting this center. Yet, since my arrival at UIC 3.5 years ago, it has always had only a tenuous position at best. It is through policies like this that I begin to feel that the university sees its students as sources of revenue rather than as lifelong learners. This was made abundantly clear to me when the decision to instill a 9.5% tuition increase for incoming freshmen was made on the same day that the board decided to give President Hogan a 37% pay raise, making his total salary $620,000 per year. This figure is roughly equal to 84 liberal arts and science students' tuition and fee costs for one semester, which does not include costs for student housing, which has also increased. It now ranges between an annual rate of $7,200 to $11,000. The UIC website lists the room and board costs for an average undergraduate student as $10,882. This is an increase of almost $1,000 since 2008. Many students who are either from working class families or are trying to support themselves and go to school simply cannot afford that. So with all due respect to President Hogan and the Board of Trustees, we would like to know how you are justifying creating new administrative positions as you make education less accessible to students of color and students from working class backgrounds. We hear the continuous blaming of Springfield, but feel that the board should be held accountable for putting what little money we do have into practices and policies that do not directly improve both the opportunity for and quality of education. We want to remind you that one of your guiding values is inclusivity, and we demand that you run our school not driven by the bottom line profit as private universities are run, but instead by its actual motto: transforming lives and serving society by educating, creating knowledge, and putting knowledge to work on a large scale with excellence. Thank you.
Thank you. I think our board meetings are published in the material. We're looking at Wednesday, March 23rd in Springfield. Thursday, June 9th in Chicago.